We're going to start today with a special segment on a piece of legislation the New Jersey legislature is scheduled to vote on by the end of the month. It's called the Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act. And if it becomes law, it would allow those with terminally ill conditions to receive drugs which they would administer to themselves to end their lives. Some point to this as an idea which a majority of New Jersey residents support, but a poll hasn't been done on this issue for a couple of years, so that's not exactly a solid, valid point. Others say this will promote an increased suicides. A couple of weeks ago, we had a doctor on the show who supported this law. My first guest today is a Clinton, New Jersey physician who was opposed. We say good morning to Dr. Edward Fleming. How are you today, doctor?
Oh, good morning, kind sir. Doing well. Thank you.
And give us some background. I gave an overall view, but what is the general, I guess, stated intent with the Aid in Dying for the terminally ill act?
So the aid, basically what they are talking about is allowing a physician-assisted suicide bill. The name, as it's stated, you know, says the Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act is a concept, even the name that was rejected by the AMA, in that, you know, that it is not something that is even a concept which should be stated directly, because it provides confusion and not clarity as to what, you know, what the issue is. And at this point, the concept of physician-assisted suicide as opposed to aid in dying, which sounds much more compassionate, but in effect is the same thing. So yes, I hope that answers the general tenor of your question.
Yep, and some of the specifics that stand out is these are the requirements that would the prescribed aid in dying medication would be given to a patient only if, well, first they have to be a New Jersey resident, which, yes, the idea of what that is, it would keep people from other states piling in, much like it's been happening apparently in Oregon and a few of the other states. The patient has to make two verbal requests at least 15 days apart. Written request to the doctor, which we'll get to that in a moment too, because I saw the form and it's not exactly a detailed contract or statement of personal observation of condition. Has to be signed in front of two qualified adult witnesses, which is also a little abstract more than concrete. Prescribing doctor and one other doctor confirm the patient's diagnosis and prognosis, and no one other than the person who receives the medication can ingest the medication. The person has to be able to naturally, without assistance, ingest the medication. Those, at least to me, are the standout points. Are there any of those points which raise objections with you?
You know, yes, there are. It's interesting how you state how it is written out, and while those things sound ostensibly good from the outset, there are things that they don't include. For instance, particularly in this, while the spouse or an adult child of an elder, for instance, because most of these people who do undergo the assisted suicide are elderly. There are others who are not, but in any of these cases, it is usually a spouse or adult children or some other close relative who is the main caregiver. And unfortunately, it is also known in medicine that for a variety of reasons, some of them burn out, others more related to financial gains, unfortunately, that these are the two groups that of caregivers that are most likely to be abusers. So when it comes to the welfare of these at-risk populations, loopholes in the New Jersey bill are highly concerning. For instance, nothing in the bill requires that the patient's request for an assisted suicide prescription be made in person. Just as with Oregon's law, A1504 requires that a patient, as you said, make two oral requests and a written request to the physician before receiving the prescription. But since there is no requirement for any of those requests to be made in person, those oral requests could be made over the telephone under some amount of duress or pressure, as it is known that victims of domestic abuse, including elder abuse, are extremely vulnerable to persuasion from their abusers. So also the written request could be mailed or sent by electronic means to the physician without any in-person verification. Additionally concerning is that 81504 permits the suicide drugs to be delivered to the patient by a third party, potentially placing the lethal drugs into the hands of the abusers. So for these and other reasons, that is very concerning for me. Also, you had mentioned the type of terminal state and condition. Under 81504, physicians would be allowed to prescribe physician suicide drugs to patients, as you said, considered in the terminal state of an irreversibly fatal illness.
Right.
Now, under that definition, a patient may have a completely controllable condition that would result in death within 6 months only if left untreated, such as diabetes, for instance. And it's such that it's possible for a patient could be considered terminal for the purposes of qualifying for assisted suicide, even if, with medical treatment, the patient could live much longer. You know, for example, I mentioned diabetes. Because diabetes can both be incurable and irreversible, though persons with that condition could live virtually normal lives with insulin. And as absurd as that sounds, as that potentially being used as a reason for drugs ending one's life, there's documentation that this is actually occurring, has occurred under Oregon's assisted suicide law, which is again the one that A1504 in New Jersey is based upon. In official reports from Oregon, diabetes is noted as the underlying terminal condition that made the person eligible for that lethal prescription.
Our Dr. Edward Fleming, who is speaking out against the Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act, A1504, if you want to look it up on the State House website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. A couple of other points. Again, when you read the bill, too, you see a lot that people who are proponents are sort of hoping no one sees until after it becomes law. The patient has one of the requirements is the patient has a psychological examination if either doctor feels the patient's judgment is impaired. Why not make that a mandatory part of the equation?
Right. That's another portion which should definitely, you know, be a part of any sort of law, you know, discussing any sort of end-of-life issues, because it is highly known that persons who are in any sort of non-optimal state, much less one that is serious, much more one that is serious, have levels of depression, anxiety, and tendencies towards suicide that is above the average population. And so to not have that as a mandatory portion of it, as opposed to something which is deemed optional unless the physician makes that decision, really does leave vulnerable populations unprotected from what they might do if further encouraged as opposed to being encouraged otherwise and to seek, you know, modes of therapy that would help their mood and help them to manage their current situations.
I mentioned the written statements, too. And when you think of the image of the written statement for an issue like this, you would think it would be literally a multi-page contract. But this is straight from the legislation, and this is what is being dictated as the form to use. Request for medication in my life in a humane and dignified manner. I, person's name, am an adult of sound mind and a resident of New Jersey. I am suffering from whatever the illness is, which my attending physician has determined is a terminal illness, disease, or condition which has been medically confirmed by a consulting physician. I have been fully informed of my diagnosis, prognosis, and nature of medication to be prescribed, and potential associated risks, the expected result, and the feasible alternatives, including concurrent or additional treatment opportunities, palliative care, comfort care, hospice, and pain control. I request my attending physician prescribe medication I may self-administer to end my life in a humane and dignified manner, and to contact any pharmacist as necessary to fill the prescription. That's it.
Yes, I mean the words informed and dignified are used quite a bit, but people don't really have the picture that assisted suicide requires that the patient ingest, for example, 100 capsules of secobarbital. So, and just before ingestion, the person is to dissolve the powder from 100 capsules in a warm liquid and drink it and take antiemetics along with that to prevent them from having emesis and bringing some of that medicine up. So to show, you know, people, it's oftentimes nicely described as you just take a pill and it's fine. You know, it's a lot more than that. It's 100 capsules. It's a gross amount of a medicine that is clearly something that is purposed to end one's life, and it's in the context of, yes, maybe some other things were explained, but not necessarily offered or facilitated or even offered first. We have already seen in states like California and Oregon, where these bills are adopted, that patients are not even asking for physician-assisted suicide. They're asking for the active treatment of their cancer or pancreatic condition or other neurological disease, and are instead being denied that and being offered, but we will allow you the coverage for the prescription of the suicide medication. So even while those other things are explained by the doctor, they are oftentimes not supported, not given the person any mechanism or vehicle by which to pursue those, and they're left with a prompting to rather pursue some assisted suicide route.
Do we know? This is a hypothetical, but do we know in any of the other states whether someone applies for the right to kill themselves, is denied, and then goes off and more violently kills themselves? Is this promoting suicide to a greater extent than it would have if people weren't getting, I guess to say, the door slammed in their face when they were looking for this as a path to take?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. You know, as you're saying there, yes, proponents of legalizing assisted suicide say that it will be associated with a decrease of the general or unassisted suicide, like you're saying, more violent route or so, by offering this legal option. So proponents say, yep, legalizing assisted suicide will be associated with a decrease of general or unassisted suicide by offering this option. But that is incorrect. In states that have legalized assisted suicide, the rates of all-cause suicide go up, not just assisted suicide, but all-cause suicide. And this occurrence is known as suicide contagion. Suicide is a major health crisis, and if we legalize assisted suicide in New Jersey, we would only add to the problem of all suicides. A study published in the Southern Medical Journal demonstrated that legalizing assisted suicide in other states has led to a rise in overall suicide rates, assisted and unassisted, in those states. For instance, data from Oregon, so it's not biased in any way, it's from Oregon. The state law that A54 is modeled afterwards states that suicide contagion is real, or suggests that suicide contagion is real, because in Oregon, the data states that suicide rate is 41% higher than the national average. Just looking at the suicide rates in Oregon compared to the national average, the data shows that it is 41% higher than the national average. So that is certainly not limiting or not saving people from suicide, and it's increasing it dramatically.
We've put a link over to our website directly to an op-ed that Dr. Fleming wrote earlier this year regarding these and other elements of the idea, the fact versus the myths, the image versus the reality, for you to read and to contemplate as the State House moves toward an October 29th vote on A1504. I want to mention, too, that Dr. Fleming is part of Morningstar Family Health Center. Their website is morningstarfhc.com. Dr. Fleming, thank you for the insight and the intention you're bringing to elements of this idea that quite a few people would rather didn't get any attention, and for the input that you're putting on this. Thanks for being here today.
Oh, thank you so much. And if I may add one new point that I just learned about yesterday.
Sure.
It was from the World Medical Association just last week. The World Medical Association has maintained its position against physician-assisted suicide and euthanasia. At that meeting, the World Medical Association last week in Iceland, in Reykjavik, the Canadian and Dutch medical associations failed to garner support for their pro-euthanasia proposal, and they had to withdraw their motion. So this is a worldwide event, not just a U.S. or a New Jersey thing. So this would be we'd be going along with what the world believes by opposing this bill rather than going along with it.
And once again, Dr. Fleming, thanks again.
Oh, thank you, kind sir.